all the things pertaining to him.
So there's got to be a restoration of the word of God. Notice, for Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him you shall hear in all things whatsoever he shall send to you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which shall not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. That did not happen. That did not happen. So don't say it did. And if it didn't happen, then it still got to happen. Because God said so. Over in Deuteronomy, what was it the Holy Spirit said back there? Let's go check it out. 18th chapter. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. But it doesn't say that whosoever does not hearken will be destroyed. But the Bible does say in Revelation 22:18-19, you add a word, you'll get the plagues, and you'll die with them. You take out a word, you'll be taken out of the book of life. Everyone that doesn't hear the word. That lets me know that this prophet that was crucified has got to come back again because it says so. And the heavens must receive him in that corporal body. And yet he must still come here. He must still descend. And it says he does as the covenant messenger, bringing the word by the thunder, the seven thunders, the seven seals, to the prophet at the end time. And thereby we know what God has to say. And he said, turn him down. You turn me down. Do you believe that? The Bible said concerning Samuel, they have not turned you down, they have turned me down. See? At this end time, this must be fulfilled according to the word of God. Now notice, the Christian church does not see this. They don't see what I'm talking about. They don't see what Brother Branham taught us. They think all of this belongs to Israel. You know why? Because they're confused over Matthew 25. Matthew 25 says in verse 31, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all his holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from goats. And he set his sheep on the right hand, and his goats on the left. And the king shall say to them in the right hand, come, you bless my father, and so on. And then it says over here, I can't take out of read all because you know it. It says here, trying to find that verse here. Almost have to read the whole thing at times because you don't have it marked down. And they shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. The modernist, the fundamental believer, says this is Israel at the beginning of the millennium when God judges the nations that fight for Israel or treat her well. Now, pray tell me when the millennium is eternal life. Eternal life is eternal life. Eternal life is a person. Eternal life is the Lord Jesus Christ. Eternal life is God himself. Eternal life is spirit. No millennium. Where's your everlasting fire at the millennium? It's at the end of the millennium this takes place. This doesn't belong to Israel in the millennial kingdom. They never get it. They turned it down. They don't get it. They lost it. It still hangs here tonight, brother, sister. Somebody's got to have it. But they turned it down, see? Brother Branham said, cease the trumpet. Jesus did not come to take the people into the millennium. But he promised to do it after the spirit of Elijah comes upon the earth again. That's right, he does. Israel will get a millennium then. See? But this is no millennial picture of God judging nations because the Bible says all the world comes up against Israel. Read it in Zechariah for yourself. And then if all the nations come against Israel, who's the goody-goodies that he says come into eternal life and take the millennium? See what happens? They get a creed and a dogma. They get a foolish idea. Then they got to prove it. God promised to Israel, what was it? Let's go back and see where they lost it. Right back to Luke, the first chapter. True proof, no. That we should be saved from our enemies, from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to Abraham. They turned it down. They wouldn't go God's way by way of the sacrificial lamb. Their enemies was sin and the devil, and they turned down God. But the promise remains. See? So the world, the church world, doesn't know the truth. So when God speaks this time, they'll turn it down again. Sure they'll turn it down. Who will? Not Israel. No, the Gentile church will turn it down. Yes. Now notice the period when this comes, the turning down. All right? Let's go to Hebrews 6. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Well, let's go on. Perfection? Let's go to the very end. Because perfection is not only in the sense of perfection, it's perfect, but it also means consummation. Let's go to the end. Perfection. Consummation. Perfection, like the saint perfect, like the finisher of a cabinet, taking this fine sandpaper and fine pumice stone. Finishing. Perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance and dead works, and of faith toward God, of doctrine of baptism, laying on a hand, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment, and just will do if God permit. Now hold it. How are you going to get beyond that? Did you have anything better than this? You repented of dead works, didn't you? What about baptisms, washing, laying on a hand, truth of the resurrection, eternal judgment? Then it says here, all right, we'll do this if God permits. Now, why does he say such a thing? We'll do this if God permits. Why wouldn't God permit it? Because they can't do it in that age. They can't do it. God will not permit a rapture in the first age, so they could have had one. Yes, sir. They were ready for that rapture. No man durst join himself to the multitude. Ananias and Sapphira killed for trying to get in. People in the holy will of God. They're ready for a rapture. But God's Omega as well as Alpha. And the seed must fall on the ground and die. The whole plan. So he's talking here. He said, listen, we're going to leave this now and show you something. A perfection. Now what? For it's impossible for those who are once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the power of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again to repentance, seeing they crucified themselves, the Son of God afresh, and put into an open chain. See? Now you could evidently have all of this and not be perfect. There's still something. See? Now what does this mean? Now let's just let yourselves go. And don't get any ideas. Listen to the Apostle Paul. He explains in a figure what he's talking about. So read it. For the earth, which drinketh in the rain, that cometh oft upon it. What's the earth? Well, we're earth, for one thing. Here's the earth. Bringeth forth herbs, meat for them by whom it's bred, receive blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. Where do you burn the tares? At the very end. So when is, what's Paul talking about here? The very end, which is when the tares get separated from the wheat. And evidently, the tares and the wheat can have the same thing. Because it says, you can have the Holy Ghost here in a certain special way. You can have the Word in a certain special way. You can go through the whole thing and shine forth and say, I have got it, and then follow it. What from? Him that speaketh from heaven. How do I know that? How can you crucify the Son of God afresh the second time unless there's an opportunity to do so? How can you do it? Paul's not dealing here in little funny statements. Now I can do it because I'm just a poor ordinary human being and a very poor preacher. But brother, a man writing by the Holy Ghost, he doesn't say funny little things.
He doesn't bring in crooked little thoughts.
He's telling us something. See? Now notice, but beloved, we are persuaded, see, better things of you and things that accompany salvation. Then evidently this does not mean you're saved to have this up above you. Know the doctrine? Laying on hands, judgment, washing, taste the heavenly gift, partake the Holy Ghost, taste the good word of God, power of the world to come, fall away, till everybody turn right on God and say, no. No. No one has. Turn down God's plan. Now listen. That's what now? For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his saints, showed toward his name, and if you minister to the saints and minister, and we desire every one of you to show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. What promises left? The one brother, sister, somebody's got to enter in, standing right here, living right today. Someone's got to go right into the millennium and take that land over. Somebody's got to do it. Says so. Remain. Somebody's got to do it. The Bible says so. And it's at this time that he comes to separate the tares and the wheat. There is this period where everybody has the Holy Ghost falling upon them, because that's what the Bible said would happen. I will pour out my spirit upon A-double-L flesh. And remember, restoration is not revival. Now, all right, let's go further. Let's prove I'm telling you the truth now, because I'm not lying to you. Let's go to Acts, the second chapter. Acts, second chapter. They said, what does this mean? Are they drunk? And Peter said, what you see here now happening is this which is spoken of by the prophet Joel. That's right. Genuine manifestation. And it shall come to pass in the last days. Why does every Pentecostal theologian, remember I'm Pentecostal from my inception, I stayed in 19th Pentecostal church, went up under Trinitarian doctrine until I saw the folly of the whole thing. There couldn't be three gods, otherwise you'd be a polytheist, there's only one. So I know what I'm talking about. The Pentecostal theologians have always said the last days are from Pentecostal now. How can the last days be the first days? To tell you, don't be Pentecostal theologians and doctrinaires. You'll cut your own throat by defending your doctrine. It says in the last days, the same thing that happened at Pentecost would repeat. But notice this time, I will pour my spirit upon a double L flesh. It didn't happen in the first days. It was not upon all flesh. It was only upon those to whom God had granted repentance and eternal life through foreknowledge. But he said at the end time, anybody. God says, be my guest. I'll prove it to you. For he said here, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servant, and on my handmaid. I'll tell my spirit in those days. You tell me there aren't two groups of people there, you're not reading your Bible. What are you, trying to defend yourself, or you want to get right with God tonight? I know I sound harsh, but sometimes I've got to be harsh. Don't you see? He said, yours and mine? Then yours is not mine. He said, all. Now then, people say, well, bless God, if you really got the Holy Ghost and talking tongues, you're really sealed in this and that. Oh, but don't you believe it. Don't you believe it. Not your manifestation going to prove it. That doesn't prove a thing. Doesn't prove it. You're going on to something else, brother, sister. You're going on to perfection. And the Bible says at the end time, when that which is perfect is come. There's something we're coming to. And you've got to come to it before you make that rapture. Not because of Levi says, I'm not in the picture. I'm only talking to you. That's all. He says here, and I'll show signs and wonders in the heaven, above the earth, and so on. The sun turned to blood. All that. That's going to come right before the tribulation. People say that's going to be in the tribulation. You're wrong. It's before the tribulation. See? And anyone calling upon the name of the Lord revealed will be saved from that day or any day. And remember, the Son of Man is going to be revealed in the last day. You see? Now, let's go a little further. Let's go to Matthew 24 and 23 and 24. He says here, then if any man shall tell you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. It doesn't say Jesus Christ, it says Christ. Here's the anointed one. Lo, here's the anointed one. For there shall arise false Christ. Now remember, the anointing of God is not false, because God is not false. No, sir. The men who have the anointing are false. You see, how can that be? What about Balaam? What about Ben? He was a false one. What about Judas? He was. Jesus said, one of you is Diabolus, which one of you is the devil, and the devil entered into Judas. Yet Judas had the Holy Ghost upon him because God gave him power, dunamis. Dunamis is power of the Holy Ghost to cast the devil's energies. Dunamis and energies, the working of God, power of God. Okay. Now he said, there shall be these ones that are false, and they've got an anointing on them. Even false prophets. What's a false prophet? He's interpreted a dream, maybe. Give you great sign and wonders, and then lead you right away from the Word of God. See? Notice, even lying prophets. And shall show great. Now, don't put the word lying in there because it isn't in there. That's the Antichrist lying sign. These are genuine signs and wonders by the Holy Ghost. Because God said, I will send a prophet in your midst, so-called prophet, and he will do a sign and a wonder. And then he will try to deceive you. And I, the Lord, am testing you. Genuine signs and wonders. Now watch. And deceive, insomuch, if were possible, to deceive the very elect. The word elect in the Greek doesn't come from what many students try to tell you, which is ecclesia. It's ek and logos, those who come up by the word. So therefore, at the end time, my brother, sister, there is a special coming out by the word, Christ himself, that covenant, the messenger of the covenant, who comes according to Revelation 10, who speaks one more time from heaven. Now let's prove this. Now watch verse 25. Behold, I told you this before. Now where did he tell us this before? Oh, I'm glad you asked. It's over in Matthew 7. Simple as ABC, he told us. Right in the same book. He said, beware of false prophets. There's your false Christ. False with a genuine anointing, which come to you in sheep clothing. They look like sheep, they talk like sheep, they act like sheep, but they're wolves. Now he didn't say they're wolves in wolf clothing, he said they're wolves in sheep clothing. Because the real prophet is a sheep in sheep clothing. But this is a wolf in a sheep clothing. And inwardly, they are ravening wolves. Inwardly, that inner man. Well, you know that's the devil. You know them by their fruit. That's right, Brother Dale. As long as that dear man is sweet and he's so loving and hold it. You missed the whole point. He's a wolf in sheep clothing. He's loving. He's charming. He never gets mad. Oh, yeah. You want a wolf in wolf clothing. I'm sorry. You don't qualify. You can't even listen to me. Because it's a wolf in sheep clothes. Now, what in the world? I am amazed at you, Lord. How can you be so deceiving to us? Yeah, I'm just talking silly now. Not silly, but just bringing a point to you. Because I know what I'm talking about because I know God showed me. Because the prophet taught it. What in the world has grapes and figs got to do with sheep and wolves? Suddenly we're talking about a wolf and a sheep. Now we go to figs and grapes. A wolf and a sheep calling. That filthy rascal is not running through the farm. He's a pervert. He's a deceiver. What was the tree of deception in the Garden of Eden? Knowledge of good and evil. And here's that same miserable, skulking rascal coming in. A wolf in tippy-toe sheep clothing. And he said, "Eat honey." What did God tell you about the tree? You can eat all fruit, can't you? He He said, no, 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 there is one tree we can't eat. No, he said, holy. I was with him way back there in the beginning. I know a lot about God. Let me tell you something.
Sure.
It wasn't any wolf in wolf clothing. He was a wolf in sheep clothing. He's that old tree. Your perversion, the mixture of good and evil. Yes. Perverting God's word. Yes. That was right here. Here's what it is. Your false shepherd. He's so nice. Now listen. Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, all because there's a lot of wolf in sheep clothing. And there's a lot of sheep in sheep clothing, thank God. Yes. Yeah, that's right. And God says, Lord, Lord, saying the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my father's in heaven. Many of those of that group, see, will come in that day and say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done wonderful works? Then will I profess them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Now, how can iniquity be iniquity if healing the sick is a good thing and done by God? Because it's a wolf in sheep's clothing to the sea. The man named Mr. Pentecost today. I don't like calling names, so I'll just call him Mr. Pentecost. He loves it. He's been to Rome to the Curia. They've had hands laid on him. They talk in tongues. But as I told you, up in Notre Dame, under Reverend O'Connor, they see miracles day and night. And yet when you challenge their theologian, a woman never called a priest at the Catholic Church, she's done this for it. She's a theologian. She stands up before the full gospel businessman in Chicago, and she said, but let me warn you, don't fool with our theology. In other words, Hail Mary, glory to God. Now don't tell me the devil does those healings because the devil can't heal. The Bible said these men will do it in Jesus' name by the power of the Holy Ghost falling on them. Yeah. And their wolves in sheep clothing. Yeah. Right. Is that right? Yeah. You want me to shock you? You have not been shocked by me yet? If I can find the scripture, I'll shock you. If I can't, I won't shock you. But I found the scripture. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, diamond, beryl, onyx, jasper, sapphire, carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tablets and thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that was created. Thou, Satan, art the anointed cherub that covereth. Will you challenge me and say the devil was not anointed by God? Because I'm going to challenge you. He was anointed by God. Was he or wasn't he? Well, come on. Was he or wasn't he? What's God's anointing? Prove to me there's a difference from this and that. It's the same anointing. And you say, well, these men won't arise this day, these false ones. The Word of God said they would. He warned them. John saw this same thing. When he declared Christ, he said his fan is in his hand. He'll thoroughly purge his floor. He'll gather the wheat and burn the chaff. John never referred to briars and wheat. He referred to chaff. How close can you get to wheat, the chaff, and not be wheat? Wolves in sheep clothing. Right in the place where Satan was, ministering. What was Satan doing as he covered? He was guarding the sacred word, as it were. Because, remember, the mercy seat had the cherubim, and the mercy seat was above the ark, and in the ark was the word, and the rod that budded, the sacred ministry of God who breaks the word of the people, and the manna, which is the food of God for both prophet and people. And Satan stood right over it. By the anointing of God, and perverted it. And right today, brother, sister, I'm sorry to say we have a perverted ministry all over the whole world. And I say this so it may cost me life. I believe the only unperverted are those who come in by the washing of the water of the Word through the prophet William Branham, who taught us these things to know what the truth is for the end time. Let me die for it. Let me die like a man. You say, why do you say that, Dale? Aren't you stolen? I am stolen, brother, sister. But I've learned long ago not to say how I will act until the day comes when I'm attacked. Anybody can say, I'll die for it. The day comes when you have to die. What will you be like? May I have the grace if necessary. I boast not.
But I stand tonight knowing where I stand in the Word of God, that this is the age of deception. The age of deception, where the whole church world must drag everybody into a worship of Antichrist Satan, thinking they're worshiping God. And they'll do it by speaking in tongues and prophecy and miracles and everything else. They'll still be the real, brother, sister. They'll still be the real. And these will be real, too. But they'll be wolves in sheep clothing. They're so sweet and they're so nice. Now listen, remember what I'm talking about. God speaking this last time. How it's done. In Matthew 17, Jesus said, when they said, the scribes say Elijah must come, he said, Elijah truly shall first come and restore. Right? But in Joel, it says, I will restore. I want to ask you a question, then, who is Elijah? You're not William Branham. William Branham was no more Elijah than John the Baptist. He's just a man. John the Baptist is just a man. But he was a foreordained runner as the chosen vessel to bring into view what we're talking about. Yeah. Now listen, Jesus said, I'll restore. That's because he's gone. Joe, I'll restore to the Lord. Right. Elijah shall restore. Then who is Elijah? The Lord Jesus Christ himself. Oh, come on. I'm not pulling your leg. I'm telling you the truth. You don't mean to say Elijah stood there and said, I think I'll just close the heavens. Oh, come on. You don't just do that. It's got to be you so identified with God by his word that when you do speak the word of God. But God wants you to speak. Amen. So who is Elijah? He's the Lord Jesus Christ himself, appearing amongst his own, not a man, but God, but it, the manifestation, will come by a prophet. See? Surely. Right here. It'll come according to Revelation 10, 1-7, and when he does, he will restore the word, which in turn will restore the bride. Why will the word restore the bride? Because it was perverted word that destroyed her, it will be perverted word, an unperverted word, that restores her. It was this perverted word that Paul spoke of would come in, that would blemish the church, and he said, I'm afraid lest when I present you, you are not that true virgin of the word, then therefore every member of the bride of Christ must be a true virgin of that word for the message of the day. But in this day, the entire word of the sevenfold mysteries is revealed to the church. And she becomes the virgin word bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, where sin will lose its sting, where death will lose its sting, which is sin, because the bride is restored. Remember, the bride cannot die. No, brother, sister, I've taken enough time tonight without going any further. You know what I'm talking about. You know I'm telling you plainly, not what I told you for two nights already. The Bible just simply says, my brethren, be patient unto the coming of the Lord. For the husband patiently waits for the fruit of the earth, but he's got to receive the former and latter rain. There cannot be a resurrection until there's former and latter rain in one season. There cannot be a rapture until there's a resurrection. So therefore, don't talk about a rapture until you know that you have the former and latter rain so you can talk about it. The Bible also says Elijah must first come. Don't talk about a rapture. Don't talk about going up there. Don't talk about millions now living will never die. No, sir, don't talk about that. Don't you talk about my brother, sister, buying that new car for cash unless you got the cash. Don't talk about a millennium. Unless, my brother, my sister, you're ready for that millennium by the way that God ordained, not by the way you think or some preacher taught you, glory to God, will make it. No. He said the husbandman waited. He's got to have the former and the latter rain in the one season. And what is former rain? It's the teaching. The teaching. Elijah must come. I'll restore. He said that's got to happen. And don't talk about a rapture. Talk about what brings on the rapture, my brother, my sister. Don't talk about that baby you're going to have unless you can get pregnant, because you're not going to have it. And God won't accept any other method than the husband and the wife method. Neither will he let you produce the Son of God in that rapture until you come the full way of a full impregnation of the Word of God, showing that you're the seed of Jesus Christ. So let me tell you this, no man in the Bible ever took a woman who was pregnant by another man's seed. when Mr. David married two women that belonged to other men, neither had become pregnant by a man. If you're pregnant tonight by the three creeds and the dogmas of your organization, of what you think is how it's going to be, and brother, sister, I suggest tonight, if you're pregnant, go to the doctor and let him give you what they call in the language of medicine, a curettage. Get your womb straight. How to do that, Brother Dale? By circumcising your mind and your heart from the creeds and dogmas of what you and I might think are correct. Get them circumcised. And then let the word come in, because the mind is the womb. Then let the Holy Ghost fall upon it, and to bring forth life. Brother, sister, our teaching here tonight is 100 times more correct, even in the eyes of those who believe different than their own teaching, because they all say a secret rapture. How can there be a secret rapture if millions are taken in it? You let 30 people disappear in this town of 11,000. That's Elizabethan. I don't know what Irwin is. But let's go to Elizabethan, because I do know the population. 11,000. Let even 30 people go in one night. Where is the secret? Let 2 go in one night. Where is the secret? But when you spot 1 out of 1 million moving into the promised land as a type, and you see 700 million nominal Christians, and you take by type 1 per million, and you take, just before tribulation, the cataclysm hitting the earth, there'll be some, I do believe, they won't even notice all over the world a few 700 people walking down the road one day, just like you and me are walking now, and suddenly something happens, and you reach over to the tree of life, and though you're you, you're not you, because this body has been changed. Why? Because of the word. The Lord bless you. This is the 3rd tape on this same message. You've got it all taped. You can get them all, and you're welcome to them. The best I could teach you, as we've been taught by Brother Branham. I've tried not to add anything to it or take one from it. If I've done one thing, may God forgive me, because I've done it ignorantly. But I've tried to teach what the prophet taught from the scripture. May God bless you. Let's rise and be dismissed. Tomorrow night's the last service, 7:30. Gracious eternal Father, we praise and thank you for your gracious people who stayed all this time to listen to the word of God. May they know, Lord, tonight I have no axe to grind. I have nothing, O God, to say to anyone which would hurt them or do anything, O Lord God, in any way to disillusion them. But only, Lord, tonight to say those things. Is there an answer? Have we been wrong? All, Lord, anyone knows tonight the error that's in the human heart, the fallibility of that which we thought was so strong and so solid. For, O Lord God, where was the Catholics when Luther came along? They were wrong. Where were the Lutherans when Wesley came along? They were wrong. Where were the Westerns when Pentecost came along? They were wrong. Now, where will the Pentecostals be that you said, I will restore? You said, I will come down as rain upon the mown grass. You said, I, the covenant angel, would come down with the lion's voice and the 7 thunders to reveal the mysteries, to set that bride in order. Could they be wrong, O God? Lord God, you know I was in that. I came not, Lord, to excoriate my brethren. I came not, Lord, out of them. So I would say they're wrong, not for a minute. But Lord, I heard what you said, and I've come tonight, O God. And I only can pray I've come all the way. And may I be all the way in that word, and that word all the way in me. And whatever is necessary, Lord, at this day and way, we've talked about tonight. God, may everyone tonight, even as the dead must be born out of this earth, Lord, to come forth in that resurrection, in that, and go in the millennial era. Even so, Lord, I know tonight, there has got to be a rebirth by the word to take that rebirth from the earth place, for the redemption of the body. Lord, may the people see it. Grant it tonight, I pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. And we ascribe to thee the honor and glory, because, Lord, tonight, I'm so happy to say, honestly, truthfully, I have no happiness for any glory and honor of mine. I have no zeal for any word that I could teach or preach. It is all for thee, O Lord. Poor as it is, receive it tonight, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you.